You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the fan-sided Timberwolves site. Welcome to the show today. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hopefully you're having a great week so far. Looking ahead to the weekend, we have a packed show today. There was actually a ton of Timberwolves news over the past 24 hours to cover. So we're going to do that for about the first half of the show. Talk through some ownership news, potential draft reschedule. Sachin Gupta gave an interview with John Krasinski at The Athletic. So we'll talk about high points from there. And then I want to finish by talking about one more of these fake trades from Bleacher Report. One that they proposed that it's similar to one that I keep seeing out there that I really don't like. So I want to get into that and talk about why I think it's ridiculous that the Wolves would trade the number one pick to the Knicks just so they can take LaMelo Ball. But at any rate, that'll be the show today. First off the top here, quick reminder to please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And also a reminder, if you're new to the podcast, this is a daily show. We're here Monday through Friday, you know, 5 days a week. So be sure to tune in, you know, on a daily basis and get whatever news breaks. Because as it turns out, even though the Wolves haven't played for like 6 months, almost exactly 6 months, there was still a bunch of news in the last 24 hours. So let's dive into that. First off, the big ownership news. Of course, the team's for sale, has been for sale basically now for 2 months. There's been tons of groups mentioned. Of course, the Kevin Garnett group, which apparently hasn't gained much traction. There was the early interest from the Wilf family, which owns the Minnesota Vikings. Meyer Orbach, a current minority owner who owns a decent chunk of the Timberwolves currently. He's located in New York. He's a real estate developer. He was interested. Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Cleveland Browns of the NFL, is allegedly interested. The group that had the most traction was Daniel Strauss, the former minority owner of the Memphis Grizzlies, and his group actually had an exclusive negotiating window with the Timberwolves and with Glenn Taylor, I guess via the Rain Group, which is the firm that current owner Glenn Taylor retained to help with the purchase. And that exclusive negotiating window ended and has not gone anywhere yet. Although we actually have a little more information on that too. This all comes from a report over at The Athletic from Shams Charania and John Krasinski. Again, The Athletic is a subscription site. So if you do have a subscription, check out the article. If you don't, I'll hit some of the high points, but again, don't want to quote the whole article directly because it is a subscription site. But basically the article, the main body of the article, the news is that the group led by Aaron Aflalo, of course, the former longtime NBA player who never played for the Timberwolves, about 6 weeks ago, it was announced that he was putting together a group. There was a venture capitalist who was named as the primary financier of this potential transaction. Aflalo would be the face of the group. It seemed weird because Aflalo never played for the Wolves. He's not from Minnesota. The venture capitalist is, I think, a Vegas native or maybe a New York native and lives in Vegas, something like that. And there wasn't any obvious Minnesota ties. And of course, Glenn Taylor said all along that whoever purchases the team must keep them in Minnesota. And there's various, there's plenty of thoughts as to whether or not he can make that a part of the deal or what that would actually look like. But he doesn't want a Seattle Supersonics to Oklahoma City Thunder situation where they say all the right things and then a year later the team's gone. And so the Aflalo group, you know, allegedly said they wanted to keep it in Minnesota, but it seemed weird. So there's some additional news in this article. Some of it really, frankly, I'm embarrassed that I didn't realize this, but Aaron Aflalo's direct connection to the Timberwolves is that his first coach in the NBA was Flip Saunders with the Detroit Pistons. And he apparently grew close with the Saunders family and has a relationship with Ryan Saunders, which I did not know. But I think if I had made the connection with Flip Saunders, it would have been easier to figure out. Also, according to Charania and Krasinski over at The Athletic, they say that Gerson Rosas also has a good relationship. I think the words they use were a strong relationship with Aaron Aflalo. And I'm sure their paths crossed at some point. Both have been in the NBA for a long period of time. And so Aflalo apparently has, and the term used is an affinity, used in the article by The Athletic, an affinity for the Timberwolves organization. The group also, according to this report, has, and I'm going to read this part directly, it says the group has observed Well, actually, I'll start. This paragraph says, if a Flawless group emerges as winners in the process, there would be a desire to become pillars in the Twin Cities community. Sources said the group has observed from afar as CEO Ethan Kasson, Rosas, Ryan Saunders, and the rest of the organization has thrust itself into community engagement following the death of George Floyd, which sparked riots across the country, put law enforcement relations with people of color under the microscope. The group, meaning a Flawless group, includes several people of color who have an interest in the franchise playing a role in the discussion, sources said. Apparently, one of the primary backers, different than the guy who was mentioned in the initial report back in July, his name is Jay Bloom, and he's the executive chairman and founder of Pegasus Group Holdings, which develops renewable energy projects, in the Mojave Desert in Arizona. So apparently a really diverse group, Aflalo being the face of it. He only made about $60 million over the course of his career, and the purchase price of the Wolves is going to be over $1.3 billion. And this Jay Bloom would be one of the primary backers. He's an entrepreneur and executive chairman and founder of a big company. And then there's apparently several people of color that are involved in the bid as well. So all of those things are really positive, obviously. If Aflalo really has an affinity for the Twin Cities, an affinity for the organization, for the Saunders family, and a good relationship with Rosas, it really doesn't seem like there'd be any major changes if they took over. If anything, the franchise would continue to be even more ingrained in the Twin Cities community and do a better job from a community perspective. And I mean, that's only a good thing. The only thing about this that's a little, there's a paragraph right in the middle that talks about Aflalo being originally from California and has been living in Las Vegas since the 2011 lockout. Bloom is from New York, but also lives in Vegas. And so Krasinski and Shrania, make sure to point that out. They talk about how basically there's only this $50 million fee if the Timberwolves were to buy out their lease at Target Center and move out of town. So, well, it really sounds like they're saying all the right things about wanting to get involved. And I'm trying not to be too cynical. Clearly, Krasinski and Shrania thought it was important to mention that both these guys live in Vegas. And of course, this isn't said here, but reading between the lines, Las Vegas has been trying to get an NBA team for many years and is probably, along with Seattle, one of the next markets to get a team once the NBA expands again. So who knows? I suppose that wouldn't be expansion, though. That would be relocation. So, but at any rate, I think it's important to point that out, that, you know, even if the team stays in the short term, who knows what happens in the future. The one other piece of this that wasn't mentioned previously is that the Strauss Group, which was in that exclusive negotiating window with Glenn Taylor and the current ownership group, while they don't have an agreement, they apparently did make an offer to Taylor, and there are no plans for them to meet face to face in the near future, but there is an offer on the table that was discussed with Taylor. And obviously, since Taylor didn't accept it, he's interested in soliciting other bids. And Strauss, obviously, I mean, he also said he wanted to keep the team in Minneapolis. So at this point, you know, I think some of the name recognition of Aflalo and maybe some of the community efforts that this Aflalo group would be wanting to undertake, those things make that group perhaps a little more attractive. And also the report that he has a strong relationship with Rosas and Saunders and wouldn't make any immediate changes is refreshing. Kevin Garnett's group hasn't gained traction and hasn't apparently negotiated directly with the Rain group, but that would be a whole, you know, would Kevin Garnett make big changes? That was one of the main concerns early on, is would he, you know, upset the apple cart, where the Timberwolves actually appear to be making some progress on the personnel front over the last 15, 18 months or so. So those are the interesting high points there. In my book, the Aflalo group now ranks number one in the groups that I would want to take control based on what we know, and really based on this report at The Athletic, at just, you know, the lack of, they want to be hands-on in the community, hands-on in that sense, and be pillars of the community, strong relationships with basketball ops already, and they wouldn't make any big changes there. The, you know, some of the credibility that comes with the Aflalo being one of the ownership groups that probably, it sounds like, would be on the forefront of having folks of color as part of the group. All those things are positive. And this group, to me, it certainly sounds a lot better than Jimmy Haslam taking over, or, you know, Meyer Orbach, or, you know, one of these other groups, and possibly even then Kevin Garnett, depending on what KG wanted to do to the organization. So really interesting. Go ahead and check that report out at The Athletic. My take on it is it's all positive news. So looking forward to hearing more about that. And also, the article says there's nothing imminent, and that the Strauss Group was hoping to get something closed during the month of September, but that there's nothing imminent there either. At least it doesn't appear that way. So next up, what I want to do is I want to talk about The potential news on a draft reschedule and then also the John Krasinski interview with Sachin Gupta in the Timberwolves front office. Before we do that, though, I want to talk about our friends at DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings you food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep the communities that they operate in safe. And right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. I also want to talk about our title sponsor of today's show, our awesome friends at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. While chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. And best of all, the prices at RockAuto.com are always, you've heard me say it before, reliably low, and they're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, let's jump right back into talking about the latest in terms of the draft. So, of course, the draft was supposed to be October 16th. Well, originally it was supposed to be June 25th. It was pushed to October 16th. We've been hearing now for weeks that the NBA is considering pushing it, mostly because there's no resolution on the salary cap for next year. And then there's also the question of free agency. So there's now a report out by Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN, and then also Shams Charani at The Athletic, reporting that the players union has agreed with the league to once again postpone the draft. They have yet to set the actual date. So officially it's still out there that it's October 16th, but we know that it's going to get moved. The date that I had seen is November 18th. That's the report from Woj at ESPN. He actually just reported that on Wednesday of this week. So he's saying November 18th. So just over another month away, which I guess from now is roughly 9 weeks. And you know, new season, I mean, we're looking at probably past Christmas now. The date that I'd seen thrown out there, I forget who reported this a couple of weeks ago, was MLK Day in mid-January, possibly even February. So things just keep sliding now because the salary cap just hasn't been figured out yet. And so that will, of course, we've been talking about the draft now basically since March, in kind of fits and starts here. We talked about it for a while, took a little bit of a break. Now we're back into it a little bit. Now that the lottery happened, we know the Wolves have the number one pick. But if it gets pushed another month, I guess we'll just spread out that content over the next 9 weeks or so. But that's the latest on that. It sounds like it's much more likely to get pushed than anything else. The other note I want to hit before we get into another fake trade conversation is the interview that John Krasinski did with Sachin Gupta in the Timberwolves front office. Gupta is his title is Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations. And actually, before I dive into what he said there was also a report that he is on the short list of candidates for the Kings Executive of Basketball Operations position. I can't imagine he would be too psyched to interview for that job. It's basically the same job. I guess he'd be the president instead of an EVP, so he'd be running it. But the other folks who are, they want to talk to, Calvin Booth from the Nuggets, of course, he used to be a Wolves executive and a Wolves player. Trajan Langdon from New Orleans, Adam Simon, who's the Miami Heat assistant GM, Rockets assistant GM Monty McNair, and then also former Hawks GM Wes Wilcox. This is a report from Shyam Charania and Sam Amick of The Athletic. I believe I saw that one of those guys already said that they weren't interested. I can't remember who it was. But I mean, the ownership group in Sacramento, the market in Sacramento. I mean, there's just a number of reasons why I'd be surprised if Gupta, who's effectively the number two in Minnesota, would be too excited to go to be the number one there. But you never know. So he's a candidate for that. And of course, he's been around the league a little bit. He was at ESPN and wrote the code for the ESPN trade machine several years ago, worked for the Rockets, and then had higher up positions in Philadelphia and Detroit before coming to Minnesota with Rosas. And so he's been around a little bit, but this is the highest position he's held, and he's a key voice in the Timberwolves front office. And this article that Krasinski published over at The Athletic is really just an interview with Gupta with some additional commentary about the Wolves draft assets. And there's a couple of fun quotes from Gupta where he basically just lays it all out there. He says, if you're not being proactive in trade, you're missing out on one of the most significant ways to impact your roster. We're not bashful at all. We're trying to be creative and generate ideas. We're not afraid to throw it out there. Then he also says, quote, we've been having a lot of fun just thinking of all the different possibilities that getting the number one pick has presented us, trading back, trading out, trading for future with the quality of the upcoming drafts and the possibility of, at some point, the double draft. There's just so much available to us. Of course, if you're not familiar, the double draft that he's referencing is the possible draft. They talked about 2022. This is when the NBA would reduce the age minimum from 19 to 18 and would allow the one and done players in 21 and then high school seniors from 2022 the ability to come out instead of going to school. So they're talking about having literally a double draft, two draft classes in one in 2022. Who knows how COVID may or may not affect that, if it gets pushed forward or back, or who knows at this point. I'm not willing to speculate on that, but interesting that he mentioned that. Also, all the other options we've discussed here, trading back, trading out, and trading for the future. Not very often would a team, and I don't know that this has ever happened, that a team has traded the number one overall pick and gotten out of not gotten a pick in that same draft back in a return. And I would still think that's a pretty unlikely scenario. I think if it's Atlanta trading up, the Wolves would get their pick at I think it's six, or the Knicks pick at eight or whatever, rather than just not getting another pick. But the Wolves would just as soon have a high pick in next year's draft than a slightly lower pick in this year's draft, because again, the 2021 draft is expected to be much stronger, and the Wolves don't have a first or a second round pick in that draft next year at this point. And so it would not be a surprise to see the Wolves do what they could to get a pick next year. My bet is that they trade that 17 pick as part of some deal, and maybe it's the 17 and the 33 for a pick, a first round pick in next year's draft, for a team that wants some additional young talent this year. I think the Wolves' preference would be to hang on to 33, because this draft gets really flat. It's deep, basically from the mid teens through the early part of the second round. You got like probably 20 to 30 guys who could go anywhere from 18 to 48 in this draft, and I think the 33 pick holds some value because of the non-guaranteed contract and the depth of the decent talent in this draft. While it's not top heavy, there is some talent, that could be found later in the first and early in the second round. So I think if the Wolves could trade the 17 and a player, or just the 17 for a future pick, they're going to do that. But who knows if they can trade the number one for, multiple future picks and a player or something like that. Gupta is obviously open to that possibility, and that would be attractive. They talk about the role that, Manny Rojan, the assistant GM, who's been in Minnesota with the Timberwolves as their salary cap guy for quite some time, about his role, all the conversations they've had related to the possibilities of this draft, as he said, trading down, trading out, all those different things. And they also talk about how data isn't, they're not just going to pick based on a model. And maybe this goes without saying, but interesting to hear it from the data guy's mouth, where he literally was on scouting trips this year. They're using their models as part of the process, part of the evaluation, just like I'm sure, draft interviews, any sort of a combine that happens, these Zoom interviews they've had with these players, background, talking to former teammates and coaches and high school coaches and family members and friends and all that stuff, as well as obviously the scouting of the tape of each player. So all these things factor in the decision. It's just kind of a really, you know, peeling back the onion, really interesting article to hear straight from Gupta about that. So go ahead and check that out again. If you've got an athletic subscription, tons of great stuff over there of late. And the interview is a lot of fun. Gupta is obviously an extremely bright guy and a huge part of Rosas's operation right now in the front office. So be sure to check that out. All right. The last thing I want to talk about today is this potential Knicks trade floated by Bleacher Report, by Greg Swartz over at Bleacher Report, and why I don't like it. So we're going to talk about that next. If you like fake trades, most of our show on Wednesday of this week was surrounding this Bleacher Report article entitled "One Offseason Trade Idea for Every NBA Team." It was written by Greg Swartz. Massive undertaking. I have no idea how many words this article is, but he floated a trade for every team in the league. The Timberwolves were on the receiving end of three of the trades and then, of course, had their own. We talked about two of those trades plus the Wolves trade on Wednesday's show. So if you missed it, go back and listen. A couple of them were pretty bad. One was decent. And what I would call, I wrote about this at Dunkey with Wolves, the floor of any trade with the number one overall pick. And it wasn't an awful idea. And if I would rather make that trade, for instance, than take, say, LaMelo Ball or Anthony Edwards number one. So go back and listen to that analysis. What I want to do briefly here is talk about the Knicks trade. Of course, everybody wants to get the Knicks the number one pick because everybody wants to see LaMelo Ball go to New York, except for it sounds like LaMelo Ball doesn't really care. If you're going to believe Bobby Marks and some of the guys that have spoken about it in recent weeks, that LaMelo Ball doesn't really care where he goes. He just would love to go number one. But at any rate, this potential trade would be the Knicks sending the number eight pick in this year's draft, a 2021 first round pick, which before you get too excited, it's actually the Mavericks pick, Frank Ntilikina and Taj Gibson to Minnesota. Minnesota would send the number one overall pick and James Johnson to match those salaries to the Knicks. This trade would not be good for the Timberwolves. I don't really know how else to say it. Trading back from one to eight and all you're getting is likely a, you know, 25 to 30 pick next year from the Mavericks, who of course are going to be really good. And, you know, certainly in the 20s, a late first round pick, albeit in a strong draft, Ntilikina, who's been disappointing and would just be a backup point guard in Minnesota, and Taj Gibson, who's a really good player, but doesn't fit the current scheme in Minnesota. And it'd be great to have him. He's a good locker room guy. He plays hard. He's still really good. He was great with the Knicks last year. But why? I mean, he doesn't fit what Minnesota's trying to do. He doesn't stretch the floor. He's not, at this point, he's slowing down a little bit defensively, and he's a little bit less switchable than I think what Ryan Saunders and Gerson Rosas want. They want, you know, Jake Lehmans. They want James Johnsons, who can play the four, can switch onto threes and switch onto fives in a pinch. And Gibson's kind of a 4-5 guy. He's not going to be able to guard threes as well in the pick and roll as he used to be. Also, not to mention Tom Thibodeau is the coach in New York, and he loves Taj Gibson. He's not about to trade Taj Gibson if he doesn't have to. I guess maybe if he gets the number one pick. But I don't understand why the Wolves would do this. You'd have to think that Ntilikina is going to turn into a star, which I don't, and I don't think they do either. And or you have to think Dallas is somehow going to be bad next year, which they won't be. So I just don't. If this was the Knicks pick in 2021, you'd consider it because it'd probably be, you know, top 10, if not top five. You know, maybe it's a top three protected Knicks first round pick next year. I mean, that would be attractive. I mean, that's really the only way this makes any sense. I don't understand why the Wolves would slide back seven spots and give up James Johnson, who's their best trade asset as an expiring contract and a functional veteran who contending teams are going to try and trade for at the deadline next year, to slide back seven spots, pick up a late first round pick next year, and a couple of guys who will be bench players for the Wolves next year on a team that needs legitimate depth and not more bench guys. It doesn't make any sense to me. This argument made by Swartz here is that basically they just want to move back into the draft next year, which, yeah, sounds great. And I guess they would, at the end of the day, they'd rather get a pick next year than not get a pick next year. But this is going to be like the 25th pick. And then he says they could take Patrick Williams at number eight. Sure, yeah, you could take him. You could take Devin Vassell. You could probably take, Nesmith is certainly going to be on the board there, Aaron Nesmith. There's a number of guys, Sadiq Bey, maybe Isaac Okoro is probably gone at that point. Maybe Onyeka Okongwu. There's tons of guys who would be there at eight. So sliding from one to eight in this draft isn't the end of the world, but you got to get something to fall back that far, something beyond a late first round pick to give up the number one pick. So that trade to me makes no sense. Some of the other ones in this article, I thought Swartz did a really good job of putting them together. And when you put together 30 trades, of course, there's going to be a couple that are clunkers, but a fun article. So be sure to check that out and be sure to listen to Wednesday's show if you did miss it and check out my analysis on those trades. One of which I thought was not a bad idea for the Wolves if it comes down to it. All right, that's all we have for you today. Again, a reminder, we'll be back daily. So we'll be here on Friday. We actually have a Saturday show this week too. Hopefully getting a little bit into some more draft stuff here this weekend because we missed a show earlier this week. Next week, we'll be back Monday through Friday as well. So be sure to tune in as we continue to get more news on the ownership, potential ownership changeover in the sale with the Wolves, as well as draft news and eventually when we get some final closure on the draft being pushed back again, which at this point feels fairly inevitable. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. If you do subscribe on iTunes, please give us a positive review on Apple. That definitely helps us out, helps us get in front of more folks. That's always a good thing. You can also follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And of course, today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast. And we'll catch you next time.